89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Monday evening edition of the Boneyard. It has been quite the busy day, but the reality of it is it's been a long day. It's been a difficult day, and you know, for me personally, as well as all the work we've had to do, and I want to pay tribute to my fine staff over at jeanspage.com that kind of carried kind of a busy day today. I got a handful of stories up too, but kind of with a heavy heart. But the reality of it is that you know, the show must go on. And so we got a lot of portal stuff to talk about. We got some more recruiting stuff to talk about as Mississippi State adds a late signee here in the December signing period. Nice get out of Texas. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about who all is leaving. I know many of you are panicking a little bit, so I want to talk about that too. But you know, before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about my friend J.C. Patton before we get into all this stuff. So you know, it's pretty crazy. You know, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, feelings and emotions, and I mean real feelings and emotions, not you know, the things that we do to excuse our behavior when we get a bit uncomfortable. You know, there's a lot of that in the world today. So I got ready to go. You know, I woke up this morning knowing I was going to have to go to the visitation, and would love to have been able to stay for the entire ceremony, but you know, work never stops, you know, for your good friend and host. And but I was able to take some time and go, you know, pay tribute to my friend J.C. Patton. And I got to thinking about this today. You know, J.C. and I have been friends about 20 years. He's been a good friend. And so as I'm getting dressed, you know, you kind of figure out what do you want to wear to the funeral home. You know, that's, you know, those are big, important decisions, I guess. But at the end of the day, it's about you being there. And to be honest with you, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to see him like that. I didn't want to remember him like that. There was a closed casket. You know, cancer is a very vicious and crippling illness, as you guys are well aware. But, you know, it had been easy just to say, you know what, JC would understand. I mean, the first day of the portals open, the demands of the job, you know, are intense. And so he would get it as a guy that followed recruiting as close as anybody. He would understand if I just simply couldn't make it. But the reality of it is I felt, is I'm putting my boots on today and, you know, getting ready to go. And I said, you know, that's the last favor I can ever do for my friend. The last one is I can go pay my respects, and I can hug his sweet wife and their girls and tell them that I'm sorry, that I loved him, that he was my friend, and that everything is going to be okay. It may not be okay today, and it may never be the same level of okay, but at some point, it's going to be okay. And I began to think about that aspect of it. You know, because there's so much today, and I don't want to preach too much about this, but there's so much today. It's like, you know, well, you know, I don't want to go in an uncomfortable situation because it's just, you know, it'd be such a drain on my mental health. You know, it's been a drain on my mental health too, but that's what you do for your friends. You know, any level of uncomfortability that I have is far exceeded by the needs of the family. And so we go through, I get there, and there's, you know, Jake Gautreau and his amazingly beautiful wife, and had a chance to go through the line with them and, you know, kind of talk a little bit. And the line at the United Methodist Church was moved pretty briskly, I guess you could say. But there weren't a lot of tears. I think a lot of it too, you know, you have the extended illness, you know, and so people kind of come to grips with that. You know, they know the inevitable is approaching. So you have a chance to kind of grieve people before they're gone. And it's sad, but it's also kind of part of human nature. You begin to kind of think about that. It's like, you know what, I know what's going to happen here. I know how this is going to end up. At some point, we're all going to die. We are. I guess except for those of us who get raptured, you know. But my point being is that as far as like, everyone always asks, you know, when you go to a funeral or visitation, they always say, you know, how'd it go? You know, it's kind of a silly question, right? I mean, they always typically go the same. This one really wasn't the same, though. I think it was really more of a celebration of JC. I mean, there are his friends and their wives and so many people from over the years, you know, former Mississippi State players and staffers and just great Starkvillians, you know, people around the community, church members, law associates, you know, people of that nature, everybody kind of gathering for this family. And it struck me when on the way home that I never got to tell JC that we're about to have a grandson. And it's one of those things till you start thinking, you know, I wish I'd have called more, and I think, you know, the thousands of phone calls that I've received over him, and that's not an exaggeration. Thousands of phone calls over the years from JC. Sometimes 10, 11 a day during the heart of recruiting, you know. I mean, he's just a guy that just loved it. And he loved Mississippi State. And he loved to call and compare notes. And it struck me, you know, that there's a part of me, I said, you know, I wish I'd have called more. And then it just kind of, the thought entered my mind, I'm not going to beat myself up about that, because in the end, I would not have wanted him to waste one second on me that he could have spent with his family. And that's not to let myself off the hook, but I understand that time is precious. Life is short, death is certain. And one of the great paradigms of life, as we age, we begin to lose parents and aunts and uncles and older friends and sometimes younger friends or friends of our own age. We begin to consider our own mortality. And I thought about my grandson. And I said, you know, God always knows exactly what I need, you know. Because just as my cousin Sarita passes away unexpectedly, 3 weeks younger than me, and now my friend J.C. Patton, after a very brave and courageous battle with cancer, has passed away. You know, here is this unborn child that God has given me to love. You know, I'm the kind of person, I have a huge capacity to love people. I do. And I love with all that I have. And if I've ever told you that I love you, know that I meant it. It wasn't just social convention for me. I absolutely love you if I've told you that. And there are many of you that I love that I'll never get a chance to tell you that. But just as my older friends and family members begin to die off, there's a new generation of people that haven't been born that I'm going to love too. And so there's not going to be any love lost in the life of Steve Robertson. I'll just redirect some of that toward some new people. And I'm currently reading The Prophet. Those of you that have read it, you'll understand that. And I shared that, a bit of a passage of that, with a young lady that's worked in media relations for the last few years. And she was thought she was set to graduate back in the spring. And, you know, I think a class didn't maybe go the way she wanted. She came up a little bit short, so she had to come back and work the fall. And I won't mention a name because I don't want to embarrass her for any reason. But she's another one of those people that I love. And I want great things to happen for her in her life. And it just so happened yesterday, I got a chance to see her. And she's finished and getting ready to head back home. And I shared something with her from the Prophet. You see, like, our children are not our own. And we take the wisdom and experience from a time that they never experienced to prepare them for a time that we'll never experience. And my hope is that we choose wisely in the lessons that we pass down to the next generation. You know, the world is in turmoil in many respects. And everybody that gets older always says to themselves, man, I worry about the world for my children. Everybody's always said that, you know, every generation. You know, I worry about the world I'm handing off to my children. I have those same worries, but I know that I have equipped them well to deal with whatever comes. And I know that J.C. Patton's family are in good hands because they have each other. And they have all of us. And there will come a time, you know, that, you know, everybody goes home. You know, I remember when my dad died, it felt so disrespectful to him to go back to work, to get back to life. Life goes on. And I just wanted to kind of stay in that moment with my siblings. I didn't want to get in the car to go home. It was so difficult. And it was difficult for them, for me to go home. Everybody walks outside and we just kind of stand around in the driveway, realizing that this moment in our life is over. It was very difficult. And so I ask you, our loyal Boneyard listener, to remember J.C. Patton's friends and family and your thoughts and prayers in the days ahead, in the months ahead, in the weeks ahead. It's going to be a very difficult Christmas season for them. And so I think the best way, in addition to the thoughts and prayers, and I believe in that, I do believe in the power of prayer, I do. But I think the best way to honor the memory of J.C. Patton is for us to ensure that we let those around us know how much we love them this holiday season and every day. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. I love them too. And I love the fact too that I can go in there and get an excellent meal at an excellent price with excellent service in a great location over and over and over. I don't know how they have such great consistency in what they do. It says a lot about the management of that operation. They don't have an off day. And I love that about them. That my expectations are always met and often exceeded when I go to Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that great restaurant quality hamburger. There's a reason you go to Bulldog Burger Company. It's for those great burgers. You don't have to get a burger. There are other options there. You can have the sweet heat chicken sliders. You can have those sloppy Joe sliders. If you've never been to Bulldog Burger Company, let me encourage you to get the Bulldog first, okay? Let's not get crazy out of the gate. And I think, the award-winning hamburgers, they have some there, you know. But start there and then begin to kind of branch out on your Bulldog Burger journey on trip number two. Get that chocolate shake or perhaps that Shipboy's bread pudding to go. You'll be glad you did. Get home at night. Get a little bit of a sweet tooth. You can fill it with a great restaurant-quality dessert. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. JC would want this too. So, Steve, what's going on with Jackson Arnold? I guess before we get to that, let's talk about who all is leaving, and then we'll talk about who all may be coming. Does that make sense with you? No top 10 list today either. We're just going to bare bones it today, and then we'll get back to top 10 on the Wednesday show. It has been a very busy day, as we've had several guys that did not pre-announce their decisions to enter the portal. And so we've had a lot of guys go in today. And let me share with you this, and we'll do some research maybe as the list kind of becomes more final. But so far, 23 outgoing transfers for Mississippi State, and that could change any moment now. So here is what we have so far. Safety Jacoby Albert. You recall he was the guy that transferred in from Kentucky, and then like from the very beginning of camp in 2023, he tears the ACL. Has to work his way back and made a couple plays this year. But, you know, I think for some people he was a little bit overhyped. And I think there was probably a little more expected of him. And it's so difficult to come back off an ACL injury, especially when you're a speed guy, right? It takes some time to get your legs back under you. And you know, guys are so desperate to get back on the field and play the game they love. So they're willing to go play at 85%. You know, I just want to be back out here. I've missed it so bad. And so wish Jacoby the best. He's a great young man. Leon Bell also in the portal. You may recall that he was dismissed from the team. There was a couple of incidences with him. You know, Leon Bell was a guy, too. We had to work really hard, you know, to kind of get him eligible, if you recall. You know, he was like the last guy in that class to report. We thought we had really had something with him, and you know, he struggled at times with accountability. And so did not finish the year with us, and now he'll move on somewhere else. Tack Hooper, you may recall, he was a late addition in his class. He was the top defensive end prospect out of his high school, Louisville High School, that year. And we just kind of never really found a true home for him position-wise. And I think he's a guy, too, that probably gets lost a little bit in the schematic change defensively. It's like, okay, hey, we're going to work him here, you know, in the Zach Arnett scheme. Well, okay, well, now we're going to change. So now all of a sudden we got to move him again. You know, and so we moved you around some. He had a better year this year. He's already in the portal. He's starting to get some offers. And I think Ty will probably find a good G5 program and probably have a good year. And we talk about great players, really great young man too. You know, it's just one of those guys. He's a little bit of a tweener, not big and long enough to play the five tack, and maybe not quite fleet of foot enough to play outside backer in the SEC. And that's part of the deal, right? I mean, that was the thing about the Zach Arnett scheme is you could find a home for some guys that maybe didn't have a natural position. In this scheme here, we need guys that fit certain measurements. But we wish Ty the best. Mario Craver. Not a big surprise, but a big disappointment, obviously, for a lot of people. And, you know, people forget Mario was suspended twice this year. And here's the thing that I will say about this. Number one, I wish Mario the best, you know, wherever he goes. And my hope is that his time at Mississippi State has helped him kind of mature, grow up a little bit, you know, leaving home for the first time and not having a lot of people over your shoulder. You know, kind of looking up on you sometimes is a difficult thing. And, you know, he got popped early in the year and then got suspended later in the year. And I've seen some people out there when he got suspended that second time, people were like, you know, hey, he's going to hit the portal. And here's what I say to that. So be it. If that's the case, you cannot compromise the culture of your team over a talented player. You just can't do it. You can't, that's how you lose the locker room. You can't do it. And so I commend Jeff Lebby for having some accountability. The rules apply to everybody. That's the only way you can run an organization. You cannot have foundational standards that are not evenly applied to everybody. And it would have been very easy, you know, to just kind of look the other way. I don't know what violation of team rules Mario Craver committed in order to be suspended a second time. Don't know. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But the reality of it is that he's leaving. We've heard for some time that Auburn may be a landing destination for him for probably the better part of 6 weeks. We've heard he may go in. So not a surprise, but very much a disappointment. Very talented guy, for sure. JaVae Gilmore. He was another guy, too, a bit of a tweener out of high school, out of A-Meet, Louisiana. part of that linebacker class, too, that we were pretty excited about the athleticism of that group. And then all three of those guys are gone now. And Javay was the guy that I probably had the most question marks about, and he ended up staying the longest. But none of those three really did anything to move this program forward. That's not a criticism of them. They don't sign themselves, right? They don't offer themselves. And Javay Gilmore, if you recall, you know, he kind of trolled LSU. LSU wanted him as a tight end. He wanted to play on defense, and he comes here. And I think in many respects, too, to be fair to Javay, another great young man, is you're already kind of changing positions and kind of learning the defensive side of the football, and then you got to learn a new scheme. And I think he kind of got lost in that. Wide receiver / tight end Antonio Harmon, another great young man, disappointed that things didn't work out better. I think he's a guy, too, that probably would do better in the Dan Mullen spread as a flex tight end. You remember when there was a lot of people involved in his recruitment, you know, hey, you're going to be a first-round draft pick and that sort of stuff. And I think he's, again, one of these guys that really just doesn't have a home. And I think that he is a guy that could probably go to G5 and be an X receiver and do exceptionally well. But he was a guy that wasn't big enough to be a tight end. And in this scheme, there's not a lot of flex in a tight end thing, right? I mean, you look at Sadu's a freak, right? But Sadu could be a little bit bigger too. You know, Sadu's a guy that doesn't always, run block the best. But I think Antonio kind of got up here and got the tweener label on him. And, again, not fleet of foot enough to play the X receiver in the SEC in this offense. And then maybe a little bit too thin to play tight end in this offense. But wish him well. But, some of the concerns about him, you know, Spurrier took him late, you know, was the foot speed. And, those chickens kind of came home to roost. Our linebacker, Tobias Hinton, this is another guy that, to give you some insight here too, there was the week that we took him, like he showed up to camp, he had an offer, it wasn't committable, and so basically his commitment and the acceptance of that commitment kind of hinged on his camp performance. He had a good showing in camp. It wasn't great, it was good, and there were some people even back then. It said, we're going to continue to evaluate him into the season. We ultimately stuck with him. And in 2 years, he hadn't been able to get on the field. Another guy that I like a lot, just hadn't worked out for him. But this is a guy, too. I mean, I think maybe he could transfer back home to place like Southern Miss. You remember, like, in the beginning of his recruitment, he claimed an offer from Ohio State and, you know, places like that, and comes here and just unable to get on the field. And, again, it's so difficult for guys that are basically edge rushers in high school, and then they transition to two-point stance linebackers and learning having to cover and play in space. It's a completely different deal. And there's a lot of that in high school where guys play edge just to generate some pass rush, and it just takes some time to learn the other skills when they move back to backer. And I think he's a guy that kind of struggled with that just a little bit.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, Radar Jones, if you recall, you know, we talked about that portal class here a couple years ago, and we're going to look at that here shortly. You know, Radar was the guy that came in the portal and then wasn't eligible in the spring, worked his way back, basically played some special teams for us. He was the, you know, state championship quarterback at Horn Lake. Some Ole Miss people thought he was going to go there. Of course, the Ole Miss people love college football recruiting and then college football in that order. They thought, hey, this is give us a top 10 class. We get Radar and he goes to LSU and then, you know, goes down there and gets in some academic issues. Another great guy. Like him a lot, but not a lot of skins on the wall. Christopher Keyes, transferred in from Indiana. We were excited about him, too. I don't know that we beat Arizona here in Starkville without him. You recall he made a great defensive play for a PBU to prevent a touchdown late in that ballgame. And that's really the only big highlight I can say. And again, another very solid young man. We don't have a lot of bad actors. But these guys want to get on the field somewhere. They do. And they deserve the opportunity to get on the field somewhere. And I got to fix something here on this on our list. Somebody didn't put the hot link in there. So running back Kevon Lee, one of the latest to go in the portal. And when we signed him, there were some people. And again, listen, we always want to assume and hope for the best. We all do. But the reality of it is, even when he came, you know, he was expected to be a depth piece. And some people were like, hey, you know, maybe he can play the Dylan Johnson role. And, you know, I was like, okay with that too. You know, I never thought he would be RB1. Well, you know, flash forward a couple of years. And we come out of spring camp. And granted, the running back room was not loaded by any stretch of the imagination. But and I even asked Jeff Levy about that in spring. You know, Jeff, what do you think about the running back room? We got to get better. We got to get better in that room. And then Kevon Lee emerges as the lead dog. And, you know, to be as fair to Kevon as I can be, I thought that was a bad sign for us. I did. Because I think that he is probably best used is kind of a complimentary back. I think he's a second or third guy in the rotation. He is a power runner, has a tendency to run a little bit high. But, you know, he's a guy that has some value. I just don't think that he's a guy that you can kind of build an offense around or be in a situation where, you know, he's your primary ball carrier. And that's how I felt all along. And so he's going to get in the portal. And you got hurt in the Florida game. You hate that for him, you know. He was not going to be a guy, I think, that blossomed into an NFL prospect, but he's a guy that hadn't played a whole lot and had a lot of chances to carry the football. He had some very inspired runs for us at times this year when he was healthy. And so you would like to have seen him have the opportunity to, you know, to kind of finish that up. Linebacker John Lewis, a guy that was a late addition to his class at a Germantown high school, kind of made himself as a senior. There are a lot of people that said, hey, you know, Steve, I don't think that he's going to qualify. Well, he had no trouble qualifying at all. Went to media days with Mississippi State this year, and it was kind of like, well, who do you bring? You know, you don't really return any names off the defense. Somebody's got to go rep a defense, and John's a very personable and gregarious guy. And it just never worked out. You know, there were times he made some big plays and showed some flashes, but consistency kind of eluded him. Tight end Rayfield Lawton, he was the guy here a couple years ago that came to camp, and we loved him. We brought in two tight ends from down in New Orleans, and they were kind of camping for walk-on spots. Well, he gets one. And even though he didn't play a whole lot, I think this is a success story for Rayfield Lawton. What I mean by that is he comes in, has a chance to play in an SEC program, and now if he wants to go to Nicholls State or Southeastern Louisiana, he's got 2 years of SEC practice experience under his belt. He didn't have those opportunities before. And I think now he will. And again, think a lot of him. Had a chance to meet him and his family when he came up that day. Defensive tackle Gabe Moore, we've talked about him. He was the guy that was out, you know, with a non-football related health issue beginning of the year. Gabe was the guy we were really excited about. Knew we were going to have to bulk him up and slot him inside. That may not have been the best thing for him. Wide receiver Trent Hudson, of course, no surprise, he opted out earlier this year. And you remember there was a lot of discussion on social media. How does he go from wide receiver one to not playing and only getting a handful of snaps? I think one of the worst things that we might have done with Trent is to name him a first-team wide receiver, because it set an expectation that maybe he couldn't fulfill. You know, and it was interesting. We thought we were done at wide receiver, and we ended up taking him, and people were like, you know, hey, this is going to be great. He was a big-bodied guy, so we thought there would be a role for him, but it didn't work out. Quarterback Chris Parson, we've talked about that extensively. Wish Chris the best. Jeffrey Pittman is, a guy that didn't play this year. You know, a guy that I thought a lot of, you know, when he was coming out of Taylorsville, we had a chance to get him out of JUCO. I said, hey, this is a great number two, number three back. He had a big play against Arizona, too. I don't know if we win that game without him. Jeff is a guy that runs with some conviction, but, of course, some off-the-field issues. And no longer with us. Wish him the best. Bryce Pollock, you know, probably the one guy you look at right now on defense. Say, I wish I'd had him back, even if he ends up being a two-deeper. And it's interesting. It's interesting how some of us we can watch the same games and have different opinions of players. You know, a lot of people say, hey, look all the tackles he makes. Yeah, I'm not criticizing Bryce. I'm just talking about it in general. When you're in the secondary, I'd rather see the PBU than the tackle, right? You know, you don't have to tackle him if you don't let him catch the pass. That's a novel concept, but it's true. I'm not just talking about coming up in run support, but down the field. And there's some guys that run comeback routes and things like that. But, you know, if you lock people up, the quarterback looks somewhere else. But Bryce is probably the one guy you look at on defense and say, you know what, I probably wish we had him, you know, kind of coming back. Offensive line, McKaylin Pounders. Was told over the weekend that he had not begun the process to transfer and then ultimately does today, goes in the portal. Really wish things would have gone better with him. Really do. Would have been a great story of redemption. And I know how much he loves this place, but, you know, Luke Work, basically a freshman, wins the starting job at left tackle. McKaylin was recruited to hold that down. I really thought left tackle was going to be a little bit of a stretch for him in this league. I thought maybe he'd be better at guard or right tackle. But I wish we'd have been able to find a way to work this out. Cornerback Kamari Rogers, and again, I've said this in the beginning of this process, you know, when I went to watch Corey Owington play, I was amazed at how small he was, kind of thinly framed. And when he got in the college weight room, he did put on some size, but it was one of those things, man, what do you do? How do you come back from two ACLs? I mean, it's you're asking so much of this young man. And, you know, think a lot of him and his dad, and wish him the best. Linebacker Marcus Ross, it's like, man, we barely knew you, you know. He was a late addition to last year's class and just never did anything. You know, we needed backers. We needed people. And that's the thing, too, with backers. It's one thing I worry about with all these backers leaving. those are traditionally the guys that play kickoff coverage, right? They're special teams guys. You should find a home for them, right? Really thought Marcus Ross, at least this year, could be a guy in the rotation and possibly help us in special team, and then didn't work out. Amari Smith, that was a big recruiting win. People forget that. That was a State Ole Miss thing down the stretch, and State ends up getting him. He's here for a couple years and then doesn't get on the field. And some people are upset about this one earlier because he's a very well-liked guy down in Brookhaven. Big physical guy, but you know, one reason or another had to come together, and you know, Creed Whittemore would discuss that ad nauseum. And so as it stands right now, 23 outgoing transfers, including the walk-on Rayfield Lawton. So 23 and one in so far, and I've done my best to kind of preface you guys on this. The outgoing traffic comes first. You know, and it's everybody's like, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? It's happening to everybody in college football. As I told Dave Murray today, it's kind of like having a national signing day where you don't know who all's committed and you can't really prepare. You do the best you can. You pre-write stories on the guys you know that are going to go in, but there are other guys that just kind of pop up and you say, well, it makes sense. You know, it makes sense. All right, let's thank our friend Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com, C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Close with Blair. The reason you're going to contact Blair is because you want to buy a house. Whether it be your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair is the name to trust. 24 years of experience. The phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Be sure and let Blair know you heard about him on the Boneyard. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with Blair. Incredibly satisfied. Blair sends me those reviews, like those five-star reviews. He loves us. We love him. And you're going to love the level of service you're going to get from him with all that experience working for you. It can be a convoluted process, man. They want a pint of blood, a note from your mom, you know, lock of hair from your kid's first haircut. There's so many things that underwriters want that don't make a lot of sense to us. They make perfect sense to Blair. And Blair can construct your loan in a way that maybe you don't get as many pins, right? Your loan doesn't get pinned for more information. You know, sometimes that's just kind of part of the deal, right? But Blair can put you in a position to get you in a new home. Whether life is throwing you a curveball, maybe it's a relationship change, a job change, or maybe you just want to get closer to home, or maybe farther away from home. I don't know your needs, but Blair can meet them at closewithblair.com. All right, a couple things that I want to say before we get into, you know, kind of who's coming in and that kind of stuff. The Facebook comments, I think, are probably indicative of the average fan. Right, so like the people that subscribe at jeanspage.com, I feel like that these fans are probably like the among the most passionate. What I mean by that is like, hey, we subscribe to the Mississippi State website on 247 Sports, the greatest Mississippi State website that's ever existed. We subscribe there because we want all the information about Mississippi State. We don't want to miss anything, and you can be a part of that too. 50% off the annual subscription price the rest of this month. Get a Christmas gift for yourself. And especially with the portal going the way that it is, we're doing updates every day. I do the bones. I did two installments of bones today. So you got updates on, about 10, 11 players. First day of portal, right? And so we plan to do that throughout this process until things kind of begin to calm down. That's not even counting the outgoing stuff, right? It's just, you know, potential guys that could be incoming. And so... the first thing that I see on these Facebook groups, right, is like you see a guy like Tobias Hinton, right? A guy that hasn't played a snap. He's worked hard for Mississippi State. He's done his best to try to find a role on this team, and it just hadn't worked out, right? And that's it's not always anybody's fault. It just didn't work out. He came in here, gave it his best. It didn't work out. There's no hard feelings, and he would love to stay. And so we post that story, and immediately I start seeing dollar signs out there. Guys, that's just wrong. It's wrong of you to assign motive to why a player is transferring. And so what happens is somebody posts those dollar signs. Oh, it's all about the money. No, it's not. Not with him, and not with most of these guys. They want to play football. it is obviously apparent to them at this point that they are not going to play significantly here. They have an exit meeting with their coaches. They find out where they stand on the depth chart and say, you know what? If you want to go get in the portal, we'll support that. We'll even help you try to find somewhere. You have a coach call me, I'm happy to give you a good reference. Guys, that happens all the time. For guys like Tobias Hinton, Amari Smith, it's not about money. These guys want to utilize their talent to get their college education paid for and hopefully have a little fun playing football before they have to go get a job like the rest of us. But, oh my gosh, this is all about money. I hate NIL. NIL has nothing to do with most of these guys. Now, you always see the top crust, right? The top 10% are going to get a big deal. Do you honestly believe that a guy that has been at Mississippi State for 2 or 3 years and has never played a snap is going to command a big NIL deal? I mean, honestly. Do you really believe that? And if you do, you're dumber than you ought to be. What school would go out there and say, hey, you're in the portal. Hey, Big Daddy, let me give you 50 G's to come play for our program. Oh, no, it's okay. You've never played. What sense does that make? Zero, which is exactly what the NIL deal is going to be. Zero. Nobody is tampering with those kids. Are there some other big-name kids out there get tampered with? You better believe it. Especially young guys. You know, we know that Mario Craver, we know some people have already kind of been circling like vultures. But do you think a guy like Antonio Harmon, who has come in here and done his best to play two different positions for Mississippi State, you'd really think he's leaving for money? That's not fair to that kid for you to get out there and suggest that. It's not fair. It's not right. It's ignorant. He wants to play. And we also need to make sure we have somebody in that scholarship slot that can play up to the expectations we have for that position group. It just didn't work out. You think Ty Cooper is going in the portal for money? No. You're being ignorant. And for those of you that know better and you listen to the show, when you see that stuff in the Facebook groups, you can help me with that. And you can help on. I've gotten to a point now, like, I don't have time to deal with it today. But I see this stuff pop up, and I think how incredibly disrespectful. For some of these guys, they have been told by the coaches of their dream school, it's like, hey, son, you're just not going to be good enough to play here. Their hearts are broken. They've been here 2 or 3 years. Maybe they've got a girlfriend. They've made some friends. They've got brothers. They've gotten up every day at 5 a.m. to go do pregame or preseason workouts with. Guys that have been there for them when they've been injured and banged up. They're going to have to leave those people too. And to leave the community that they've been a part of. You know, they go to the Humphrey Coliseum, you know, cheer for Josh Hubbard. That's gone too. They go out to the left field lounge and have a hot dog and a beer with everybody. Well, they're leaving that too. And it suggests that some of these guys are just going to leave for money? I mean, come on. Think it through. And you know what? We got to make some room. And one of the things that I'll say too, you know, people say, you know what? Loyalty no longer exists. Well, you know, there's some truth in that. There is some truth in that. In college football, the way things are structured now, the loyalty piece is questioned. On both ends of the spectrum. Everybody says, well, you know, these kids aren't loyal to us and that we give them an opportunity. And again, not all these kids are leaving of their own volition. But are we going to be loyal to Blake Shapen? I mean, that's the question that I ask. You know, Blake Shapen, a guy that came here from Baylor, expected to be the starter, and he gets a shoulder injury against Florida, and then you know, Michael Van Buren comes in, does some really good things, and so now people are like, well, hey, you know, Shapen can leave. And then all of a sudden, the Jackson Arnold rumors start making the round. And it's like all of a sudden, hey, we just forgot about Blake Chapin. Everybody's like, hey, well, do you think Michael Van Buren will leave if we go sign Jackson Arnold? Well, probably. And so the question is, are we being loyal to Blake Chapin? Are we being loyal to Michael Van Buren? No. And let me tell you why that's okay. Just as every young man out there has to do what he feels is best for him and his own future, Jeff Lebby and the staff have to go out and get as much talent as they can possibly get at every position to move this football team forward. So spare me to talk about loyalty. We're in a different age in college football. It's not like the days, you know, like I go back and think about DJ Shockley. Do you remember him? Those of you that are old enough to remember. Remember DJ Shockley? What a great player he was at Georgia. Sat on the bench and worked as a backup for, what, 3-4 years? And then finally gets his opportunity and he sets the woods on fire in Athens. And he was a testament to everything that was right in college football. He could have transferred, and they didn't have the transfer portal back then. He could have transferred and had to sit out a year and gone somewhere else and probably even been a starter for 2 or 3 years. But he stayed. Those days are over. Now you get a guy like Luke Work, a guy that grew up a Bulldog, a guy that comes in and, you know, earns a job as a true freshman, that kid's going to be loyal to you, and you're going to be loyal to him. But you know something else, too? If we find out a year from now that Luke's not able to handle the left tackle spot, we're going to go find another left tackle. And we should. And Luke will tell you the same. This is not Boy Scouts of America. This is the Southeastern Conference. And so you can't get out there and be critical of the season and then in turn be critical of the way we're trying to rebuild the roster. It's like, oh man, football was terrible this year. I want to win. Oh, but we can't lose this kid that's never played. It can't be that way. You got to see it for what it is. And I hate, in many respects, what college athletics has become, especially on the football side. Especially. You don't have time to develop kids anymore. I mean, you don't. I mean, there's no building in place. And there's more pressure than ever to win because everybody's like, hey, well, you've got the portal and you've got NIL. And people don't understand that, you know, some of these kids out here, come, you know, he's like, I would love to go get this kid. You don't understand. That kid has got an agent that's asking for 6 figures minimum right out of the gate. It's like, I hope he chooses us. Well, he's not going to choose us. His agent may choose us. It's a different dynamic. And I'm not trying to give you, you know, any grief about this. But you got to understand the college football world that we grew up with no longer exists. So you cheer for the logo. And you cheer for the young men that wear the logo for a year or two. And maybe four. Maybe. I'd like to do the numbers on that. Maybe I will tomorrow. I got maybe Thursday. It's busy this week. But, you know, how many guys actually make it to senior day in the NCAA, NIL, and portal era? You thought about that? Yeah, I mean, you still see a bunch of guys out there, but how many of those guys were transfer guys that came in for their senior season? You know, those are things you think about. And so the old antiquated way that we looked at things, we got to abandon that line of thinking. It's a different day and time. It almost feels like a junior college deal, right? That's how it feels. It almost feels like a JUCO deal where we're basically having to rebuild the roster every single year. And I think that's one of the reasons there was so much parity in the SEC this year. It's because of the fact that teams don't have the depth that they once had. Because the guys that used to be the two deepers in one school are now the starters in another. This is how it works. And so I shared that with you because there is a tremendous amount of angst. But let me tell you, it's all going to be okay. You know, we're going to start adding some players. May have one as early as tomorrow. We already had one. May have another one tomorrow. We'll start seeing some commitments pop up out of the portal. And we're going to sign 15 or so. You got to make room for all these junior college and high school signees too, which after the break, we'll talk about the newest high school signee. But it's important for everybody to kind of understand where we are and not automatically assign the laziest motive possible about situations that we just don't know much about. You know, and it's so funny too, like there's so many players that you have not read or heard their name since they signed. And then we get in the Facebook group and it's like, oh no, you didn't even know who the kid was. You'd forgotten because he hadn't made a contribution. And it's a cruel but fair world, right? It's cruel that we have to make difficult decisions, say, you know what, this scholarship spot is better utilized on somebody else. But it's fair to the kid to let him get on out of here and have an opportunity to go somewhere that he can play. That's the reality of the situation we're in. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I wish I had a credit card that had no limit, you know, to borrow a phrase there. But be able to go in there and just get whatever I wanted for all the Bulldogs in my life. Most of it would be for me, to be honest with you. Whether it be apparel or knickknacks or gift ideas, you can find something for every Bulldog on your list. Let me remind you, it's 16 days until Christmas. So 15 shopping days left. Don't delay. Make life easy on yourself. Just visit them online at campusbookmart.net and you can peruse through all the selections that are available to you at Campus Bookmart. Now, when you log on to Campus Bookmart to get ready to check out, again, that's campusbookmart.net, use promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. That's campusbookmart.net. Okay, Bulldogs pulled a bit of a fast one today as we pick up a late signee of another wide receiver, Grayson Harris out of Ennis, Texas. 5'10", 170-pound receiver with a grade of 88. He is the number 100 wide receiver in the country. And the reality of it is we probably need another playmaker. And he's a composite 89 and a pretty decent offer list here too. Now, he initially committed to Oklahoma back in the spring of 23 when Jeff Lebby was there. He committed to Jeff Lebby when he was at Oklahoma to play baseball and football. Offers from Baylor, Florida State, Kansas, Oklahoma, Pitt, Purdue, SMU, TCU, Texas Tech, UTSA, and West Virginia. So mostly Power 5s, and I'm sure there's some other G5s that maybe didn't make the list. Not everybody is as diligent as I am when it comes to keeping up with offers. But, you know, good get. Had a chance to talk to him this evening as he left. He had the reason for the late delay is the he was committed to Oklahoma, and then they had to free up some scholarship spots to make room for some portal guys. They dropped a couple wide receivers because they had to go out there and kind of get some things going. And so he was one of the casualties of that class. And, of course, since Jeff Lebby knew him and knew his ability, it made sense. Once Harris was dropped by Oklahoma, he reached out to a few people. Mississippi State's like, hey, we got a spot for you. So he had the ceremony today at Ennis High School, and he has not visited Mississippi State. He may be here tomorrow, that's what he tells me. Not sure yet. But we'll have an opportunity just to come and see the lay of the land. But he signs with Mississippi State, having never even set foot on our campus. It says a lot about the desperation of his situation. You know, I guess he could have waited until February, but you know, hey, why put it off if you've got an opportunity to get it over today? Bird in the hand's better than two in the bush, as they say. You know, and so he's part of it. Now, the flip side of it is you begin to say, hey, if this is a guy here, is he just going to be a guy here for a short term and then go in the portal? You know, I don't know. You know, but we can't look at life that way, but you always have to consider that possibility. But another wide receiver, another player that Chad Bumpus can work with and develop. And, you know, we've proven this year we're not afraid to play freshmen. Not the wide receiver position. San Francisco McGee gets some snaps this year. Ricky Johnson gets some. Of course, Mario Craver, Stonka Burnside. Pretty significant development there. So we have those four receivers in the class. You know, we've talked before about Furzell Shepherd. We do expect him to go to junior college. But so Davian Jackson is your highest rated receiver at an 89, almost a 4. And then Grayson Harris, Anson Lewis, and Isaiah Mitchell. I think Isaiah Mitchell is a little bit undervalued, to be honest. And I like him too. And so, good wide receiver group. Now, I still think we probably need to go get an X out of the portal. You know, you don't want to get too small at the wide receiver position. You know, you can get twitchy, but you still need those guys that can be red zone weapons and guys that can elevate vertically. And I don't know if we really have that within this group. You got some guys with a pretty good catch radius and guys that are pretty quick twitch. But I think you still need to go get a big body out of the portal. You need an X. You know, you need a Mekhi Polk type guy, you know. And, Polk did some big things here at Mississippi State, set a school record. Of course, he was a product of the system in some respects, but he's a very talented player. But that's kind of where we sit today. So let's talk a little bit about, kind of what we're hearing. You know, let's talk Jackson Arnold for a little while here. So Jackson Arnold is the quarterback from Oklahoma, one of the highest rated quarterbacks ever in the history of the rating system. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. You know, Arch Manning is one of those guys, but Jackson Arnold is one of those guys too. So there's been a lot of chatter about Jackson. Now, so I reached out to some of our peers at Oklahoma and said, hey, you know what? Tell me what you guys are hearing. And they said, okay, well, we've heard that Auburn was a potential landing spot throughout the year. As a high school prospect, Jackson Arnold was the number 4 quarterback in the country and the number 10 player nationally with a rating of 99 out of 100. He's currently rated as the 4th best transfer portal quarterback with a rating of 90. And I think some of that, too, is because of what happened with him this year. And I think he's a guy, too, that missed Jeff Levy. And it's interesting, too. Like, I look at the guys that are rated ahead of him. Connor Wegman is the highest-rated quarterback in the portal. Guys, no. That's incorrect. That's my own network, and I'm telling you, there is no way that Connor Wegman is ahead of Jackson Arnold. He's just not. And I'll die on that hill. Now, Miller Moss, coming out of USC, same ranking as Arnold, but you got Miller Moss ranked right behind Connor Wegman. I just don't get it. Darian Mensah from Tulane is in the portal, too. I'm sure John Summerall and those guys will make an effort to keep him, but that's a guy that's done some big things, too. Is he better than Jackson Arnold? I would say no. That's just my opinion. Now, there are some people out there that are already forecasting Jackson Arnold's going to come to Mississippi State. Now, what's interesting, too, is like the initial report had a confidence level of 5. So it's basically 50%. It's a 50% chance that he comes. Okay, my thinking about that is that it's a click generator for them. That's just how I feel about it. I would not enter a crystal ball pick if I did not feel that there was a better than 80% chance of a guy making a decision. This wouldn't do it. It just absolutely wouldn't do it. But yeah, Jackson Arnold and Jeff Lebby have a great relationship. I had some folks, of course, at Oklahoma that told me that Jeff Lebby told them after he signed there that he was among the best quarterbacks he had ever recruited. So it would make sense, you know, that if Arnold goes in the portal, that Jeff Lebby is connected to that. And so this could be a game changer for State. Absolutely could. Also, could be very expensive for State, but I think it's worth it. I mean, you got to get a big portal win to kind of get things going, and you build around the star quarterback. I don't think there's any question about that. You talk about we need to build some enthusiasm. We need to get people excited to sell season tickets next year. Because let me ask you this right now. Are you excited about football season next year right now? Be honest with yourself. You love Mississippi State, But are you excited about Mississippi State football for 2025? I would say most people probably not. But all of a sudden, you go get a Jackson Arnold, a guy, again, he's just a sophomore this year. Guy threw for 1,421 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 3 picks. And you start thinking about, hey, then you can kind of build a class around him and have him out there recruiting wide receivers for you, recruiting offensive linemen for you. And you go back and look at what he did to Alabama. You know, that's a pretty impressive game. And look at some of these games, you know, that he played in. I mean, you know, he had some struggles early in the year, and you got to wonder how much of that is because he missed Jeff Lebby. You know, Jeff Lebby's a guy, obviously, that, you know, knows how things work with him. But 9 of 11 against Alabama, it's all, you know, underneath passing. But, I got one of these message notifications. Are we going to have a team next year? No, we're not. That self-loathing stuff is just so unbecoming of our fan base. It really is. But, yeah, I mean, Jackson's a guy that, you know, is a bit of a field general and is a good runner. He ran for 444 yards this year. In Alabama, 25 carries for 131 yards. That's getting it done. It's absolutely getting it done. He had a pretty good game against Ole Miss, too, 22 of 31. 71% completion percentage. And then, you know, ran a couple times, too. But, you know, when you start looking at this thing, a guy that can give you a dual threat thing, give you the ability to keep defenses honest, it's an important part of it. He lost the job after the Tennessee game, gets it back against South Carolina. But, you know, this defense, you know, Oklahoma was so up and down this year. I mean, they really were. But, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer because Jackson Arnold is a name that people know. It gives credibility. And, again, when you think about what Mississippi State's facing next year for season ticket renewals, it's not just about – hyping everybody else up and getting your new creative team to put some cool graphics out there. You've got to have a product to sell. You've got a better product to sell if you've got Jackson Arnold. All of a sudden you say, hey, you go out and get arguably the best quarterback in the portal. It's a power move, and it's not something Mississippi State has done historically. Now, I've heard that Georgia's a bit of a dark horse. And you got to wonder, too, you know, Gunnar Stockton did some good things in the SEC championship game, and, you know, now – may be the starter in the playoffs. You know, so he may win the job right here in the playoffs. And then there's some talk about, you know, Jackson Arnold and Ole Miss. There's not an incumbent starter coming back there, so he would have to go up there and kind of compete to win the job. You know, I just don't think, you know, that's part of the deal. You know, I think it may boil down to State and Auburn. You know, we'll see. And Wisconsin's a team that's been mentioned. I just don't think you go to Wisconsin – if you have a chance to go play in the SEC. I mean, if you really want to improve your draft stock, you got to go play in the SEC. You do. I know the Big Ten had a good year this year, but Wisconsin wasn't part of that. And we weren't part of the big SEC year either. But I would say it's better than 50-50, but I would not venture putting a crystal ball pick on it just yet. Those are my thoughts about it. Maybe you see it differently. And listen, I know what happens. Like, and you go back and think about Caleb Cunningham, right? I crystal balled Caleb Cunningham to State way back in the spring. And then all of a sudden, a lot of other people kind of followed suit, and it made headlines, right? People were like, hey, you know, Caleb Cunningham going to Mississippi State. Well, he signed with Ole Miss. And the talk early on was if he stayed in State, it was going to be State. Then he commits to Alabama, and everybody's like, well, that's close enough to home. And give Ole Miss credit, you know, whether it be NIL, whether it be the fact that they nearly made the playoffs this year, or the fact that you say, hey, we've got an explosive offense and we're going to need playmakers and you can play early next year. Ole Miss out-recruited us, period. And one of the things that hurt us the most, and I got this from the Ole Miss side, is that, hey, it's been forever and a day since State's put a wide receiver in the league. Even with the air raid, you bring in the air raid and State still doesn't put a receiver in the league. You know, and so that's got to change. And that's one of the things that Chad Bumpus told me that he told Jeff Lebby, so he texted him during the draft and said, this is the last year we don't have a receiver drafted. And I love that confidence. And I think one of the ways you do that, you attract better receivers with better quarterback play and a wide open offense like this, and you'll begin to put guys in the league, and then that can't be used against you kind of moving forward. But that's where we are with that. Now, Jackson Arnold's not the only guy. Jerron Manning, a safety from Old Dominion, will be here on Tuesday. I think there's a good chance State gets that done sooner rather than later. He is a guy that worked his way up from Brother Martin High School, went to Colin, had a good career there. Not a great career, but a good career. And he goes to ODU and has 87 tackles this year. 87 tackles. So, pretty productive guy. We need some DBs, and we're going to get some. But primarily, our needs are on the defensive line and now linebacker. I mean, that's the thing you think about. You know, you feel good about your starters, and then now most of your depth has hit the portal. So, you know, we'll see how things go. But the front seven certainly needs some attention. I'm not that concerned about the safety and cornerback positions. But, hey, when you can get a game changer, you absolutely have to get them. As we said at the beginning of the show, you've got to go out there and get as much competition as you can. You cannot let good football players walk away. You can't just say, okay, that need's met. Late breaking news, we talk about defensive line, and it doesn't matter how many bones or updates we do on defensive line, people want more because that's the biggest concern. That is the biggest concern. That was the biggest concern this time last year. It's even bigger now because what you had last year, even though it's inadequate as it was due to some injuries, lack of depth, many of those guys are leaving. It's true. It's pretty nuts. But Mississippi State expected to host Arkansas defensive line transfer Nico DeVillier next week. That's according to our Matt Zenitz, who the easily the nation's best portal expert. Without any question. And so Matt stays on top of this. Matt and I are in contact a lot this time of year. We've traded multiple texts today. So, and I've asked him, hey, keep me abreast, kind of keep me in the loop when you hear of guys considering Mississippi State or contemplating visits. And, you know, we'll reach out and see if we can't get some information. You know, that's part of this whole thing is having a network of sources. And I called Matt whenever we hired him. And I said, I'm so incredibly glad I don't have to work against you anymore, that we don't have to compete against each other. Because, like, if I didn't break a Mississippi State portal story, he did. So it's nice to have him on our side of things. But it's going to be a very active portal season. And that shouldn't come as a surprise, but it's so interesting. No matter how many times we say it and how many times we talk about it, people are always surprised. Always. But let's be honest with each other here. Did you really think we were just going to run it back? You know, run it back and just kind of hope for the best? No. You got to make some changes. And unfortunately, that's the way life works. That's just kind of how things are. In order to bring in new players, you've got to open up roster spots for them to be on the scholarship rolls. Not to mention, you've got to be able to say, hey, we've kind of cleared the deck here. Here's what we have coming back at this position. Here's what we see you doing. And we expect you to come in and compete right away for playing time and to be a difference maker within our program. That is an incredibly important aspect of this. It's not a deal where you're just like, hey, we got a bunch of good kids, and so maybe you can play here. No, we've got to pave the path for them to kind of understand, you know, and again, you know, we talk about some of these numbers. You know, you go back and look at some of the numbers. I mean, outside of Bryce Pollock and Mario Craver, do we have a guy that's really turned big numbers that's in the portal? I would say no. You know, the argument against that is you're losing a lot of your depth. Then you got to ask yourself, if a guy's been here 2 or 3 years and they're not getting it, do we need to get a third or fourth year? I would say no. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We're going to be staying there end of the month. I can't wait. Can't wait to have all of my children and grandchildren under one roof. And, of course, we've got a lot more to celebrate as we have a new grandson on the way in June. He'll be here before I know it, man. I cannot wait. Cannot wait for him to be here. Yeah. And so we'll have a chance to sit around as a family like we used to do when everybody was kids. And we'll play games and, you know, let the girls watch some videos and sit and in Dee Dee and Papa Steve's lap. And we'll cook. We'll have a great time. We'll take advantage of that full-service kitchen. We'll do our best to fill up those five, soon-to-be six bedrooms, and we'll use those two baths. We'll use that back porch area. I'm sure there'll be some people that'll enjoy an adult beverage. Of course, we'll all sit around the fire pit. There's nothing better than a conversation around the fire pit. It's an important part of life, right? Just to be able to get out there and relax and get away from the phone a little bit, get away from technology and just be people again, right? There's something primitive about that too. You know, you think about our ancestors just sitting around at night around the fire, just kind of soaking in the atmosphere and the company. Set up some opportunities like that for your family or your friends. Perhaps it's a work group that can accommodate you. Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. And when you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse the fine amenities that are available to you and your guest. Also going to be some booking options that pop up. And this place is, guys, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, right? So, like, if you just want to come, maybe a midweek trip or a weekend trip and take in a couple basketball games, you just stay there. And then you can do, like, all your dining or tailgating right there on site. Head to the basketball game, come home. 5 minutes. It's great. It's great. It's neatly tucked away in a very quiet area. So, when you see those booking options, you can book through Airbnb or VRBO. But I can save you some money if you book through the Evolve website. Promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay. How cool is that? Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. I wanted to go back and look at some previous portal classes before we get out of here. And it's still an inexact science, right? But I remember, you know, we were all thinking, hey, we did so well in the portal, you know, back in 2023, you know, that's when the portal thing really became a big deal, right? Everybody was talking about that. You know, you're going to have, you know, all these transfers, immediate eligibility. Things are going to be great. And, you know, I guess we can go back even further than that. Let's go back just real quickly here to 2022. And what's going to be interesting, too, there's going to be some names that I mentioned and you're probably not even going to remember them. And I'm just double-checking my math here just to make sure that, you know, we got all this figured out. Yeah, you know, I guess real quickly, let's go back. We'll start with 2021. So that portal class, we had Jack Christofik from Sam Houston that came in. It was basically a walk-on deal. Jack Abraham came in. Chance Lovertich. So three quarterbacks come in from the portal. None of them played. Jalen Green came in from Texas. A couple good years for us. Jameer Calvin came in. A couple good plays. Mekhi Polk, Randy Charlton, of course, the hero of the Egg Bowl. And so, you know, it's a good group. Good group. I'm sitting here looking at this thing, too. There's so many people. Like, we had some people working with us that didn't know how to handle all this. They did not understand how... We got Jeremiah McCrimmon listed as a commitment. He was a walk-on. I don't know why that concept was so difficult for some. But anyway, 2022, let's look ahead here. And it's crazy to go back and look even the high school guys and how few of those guys are still here. You go back and look at this 2022 class, the high school guys. So you had 20 enrollees in that class. Trevion Williams is still here. And we're counting down here. Jackson LaHue is still here. Dante Russell is still here. That's it. Three guys out of 20 enrollees from that class. You look at the transfers. Jordan Morant came in from Michigan. A lot of people were thinking he was going to come in, and he was just basically a career special teams guy. Hunter Washington came in. He's been solid for us. And then we had George. Remember George? How much trouble I have pronouncing that? George Georgopoulos. He was a good punter for us. Steven Lasoya came in, ended up transferring out. Massimo Viscardi, of course, this is good things for us. Justin Robinson transferred in, transferred out. Jordan Mosley still here. Jackie Matthews came in, wished he would have come back another year. Marcus Banks, of course, the hero of the Outback Bowl. So, you know, we got some value out of that transfer class. we didn't get much out of that high school or junior college class because, you know, like Percy Lewis and DeCarlos Nicholson, we were so excited about both of those guys. Both of them left. Mojo Dortch, of course, transferred out. Savion Thomas, you know. And again, that's that linebacker class we talked about, you know, with Avery Sledge, Khalid Moore, Javé Gilmore. Those, we just got nothing from it. All right, flashing ahead here to 23. And this is why people are skeptical, right? I mean, it's like, yeah, we're so reliant on a portal, but we need to get some hits in the portal because of the fact it's about 50% that you hit in the portal. Jamari Brown never played a significant snap, transferred out again. He was a late addition from Purdue, and I kept telling everybody he was a depth piece, and some people thought, oh, this guy, you know, no, no. Seydou, of course, had to sit the year, and he's done a pretty good job for us. Kevon Lee comes in. Remember, he was a four-star in high school, went to Penn State, transferred in, and you know, now he's transferring back out. Jaquarius Spivey came in, never got an opportunity to get back on the field here. Rylan Godet came in, caught one pass, the first pass of his college career, and then transferred out. Freddie Roberson came in from Eastern Washington, and some people thought, hey, this guy's going to be a difference maker. And he wasn't. Mike Wright came in. We know how that went. And Jacoby Albert came in, transferred out. Nick Barmira was a value guy in the class. Very appreciative of Nick and his family's contributions. Christopher Keys transferring out. Kamari Rogers transferred in, transferring out. Radar Jones transferred in, transferring out. And so, again, you look up and down here. I mean, guys, you had 12 transfers in the class. You get contribution from Seydou. Kevon was a, you know, solid guy, I guess, at times. And then Nick Barmira. And that's it. You know, so your hit rate in that transfer class was less than 50%. It's more like 25%. True story. And we go back to last year. And I think this is an important thing, too. It's a different coaching staff, right? It's a different guys doing the evaluating. You know, we had a lot of bureaucracy and elite system, you know, with who gets an offer, who can commit, that sort of stuff. So we took 19 transfers last year. Montre Miller didn't play. Still with the team, didn't play. I don't know if he had an injury situation, but he didn't play. And again, he was the late ad. We were three guys that we were chasing. We got one of the three and haven't got any contribution from him. Trent Hudson, we talked about him, transferred in, opted out, transferring out. Davin Booth, absolutely a great contributor for us, especially down the stretch. He's exhausted his eligibility, but that's a hit. Theo Brumfield was hurt beginning of the year. Only played four games, so he has the red. He can redshirt. He can count last year as a redshirt year. And I'm interested to see kind of what we do with that. I'll get some clarity on that. Stone Blanton, of course, had a really good year for us, especially the second half of the year. One of the top tacklers in the Southeastern Conference. Now, some of that's because we were on the field so much. But Stone, I think the second half of the year, really played well. Really played well. Got something to build around. Blake Shapen, of course, part of the class, gets injured. Jacoby Jackson still got a year of eligibility left. Wilkie Denard comes in and then didn't last the spring. Kevin Coleman comes in, and there's some talk that Kevin Coleman's representation is going to see if they can't see what his value is before they agree to a deal. And I tell you, one of the things that I'll point out that people blew it here, he was ranked 97 coming out of high school. They valued him as 88 as a transfer. Guys, Kevin Coleman was one of the best receivers in the SEC this year. So the ranking was blown. Zach Haynes transfers in as a punter. He wasn't on scholarship. He doesn't get the punting job. He basically ends up being a holder. Kelly Akari, a little bit banged up. But I think we got value out of Kelly. Maybe not as much as we had hoped. Marlon Martinez was the guy that was a career backup at LSU. Ends up being the starting right guard for much of the season for us. Had a pretty good year, so I would count that as a hit. Suleiman Paka, we take him as a reserve from Purdue to be a rotation guy, and he ends up basically having to play starter reps for us. And while he wasn't great, I would say we got our scholarship value out of him. Trey Wright, despite the fact some people were forecasting him to take over as a starter right away when he was pushing a cart around the SEAL complex right in front of all of us, Trey Wright didn't get to play much this year. And we're hoping he makes a full recovery and can compete with us next year. Cam Ball, very, very minimal impact. How we got a 90 for him in the transfer rankings, I won't ask why. Justin Ball, obviously, did some good things for us this year. McCalen Pounders transfers in, transfers out. Ethan Miner exhausts his eligibility, but I would say that's a hit for us. And Kedrick Bingley-Jones has been banged up much of his career. He's banged up with us now. So, again, you look back at these 19 transfers, and we talked about 50-50. Well, you got nothing from Miller, nothing from Hudson. That's two. Diego Brumfield, I would say, granted it's an injury situation, but you didn't get your value there. That's three. Chapin gets injured, and I hate to grade so harshly, but an injury is an injury. It's not his fault, but we didn't get the full season out of him. Jacoby Jackson, I think we probably got what we needed from him. Wilkie, that's five. Didn't get much there. Got nothing from that. And then Trevion Wright, injury, right at six. Cameron Ball, not much there. So it's seven. And then Bigley Jones, banged up. But so it's eight. So you did a little bit better than 50-50 with this one. So my hope is that this staff will have a much higher hit rate on these transfers. They have to, right? And I think the quality of the transfer improves if you go get the marquee quarterback. And, of course, if you get the marquee quarterback, you're going to lose at least one of your quarterbacks, if not both. Because if Jeff Lebby's the guy that recruited Jackson Arnold to Oklahoma and then he brings him into Mississippi State, that is his guy, right? Now, he recruited Blake Chapin here and he recruited Michael Van Buren here. So, technically, they're all Lebby's guys. But unless Michael Van Buren's like maybe Will in the red shirt, there's no way. And the question, I think, if you're Mike, you got to ask yourself. You got to put your pride, your ego aside here. If I go somewhere else, am I guaranteed a starting spot? That's the question you got to ask yourself. It's not, hey, am I going to get a nice little payday? Doesn't matter how much money you make if you're on the bench. And so if you're going to be on the bench, say, hey, I'm already here. Give me a year to understudy. I can get the red shirt year back and then give me an opportunity to potentially start for a couple years down the road. But, you know, the world in which we that's nobody has patience anymore. You know, that's just kind of how life is. And one of the things that I think about, and I think that we've talked about this on the show a couple times, some of these guys are going to be making significant money, more money than me and you. And so what are you going to do when you have to go get a real job and you're not making that money anymore? You know, what are we doing to prepare them to come down off of that? You know, you got some guys out there now, you know, making a few grand a month to play football. And some people would say, hey, Steve, good. God bless them. They should have been getting paid all along. I would argue that in many respects they were because you get free education, you get free gear, free food, free training, free medical care. You know, you can't put a price tag on all that stuff. But I think it's okay for them to share a little bit in the purse, but we've kind of overcorrected. And that's got to be fixed. But when you think about some of these guys out here, because there are some guys out there getting seven-figure deals. There are guys that are connected to Mississippi State that want seven-figure deals in a year. You're not going to make that. You're not going to make that in life unless you sign a pro contract with somebody. And everybody thinks that's going to happen. In most cases, it's not, like the old NCAA commercial. You know, 99% of these people are going to go pro in something besides sports. And so I think that's something you got to prepare people for. But that's down the road. Our focus at this point has got to be accumulating the best talent we can possibly get to get this thing turned around next year. Now, somebody asked me, I said, yeah, we got to win next year. They said, Steve, if we win five or six next year, it's Lovey back. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't think there's, you know, you want to see progress. And especially if you've got some pieces to build around. I don't worry about the wide receiver piece. And what I mean by that is, in this offense and the way Jeff Lebby utilizes the wide receiver position and the fact, you know, Chad Bumpus is a guy, obviously, that connects with these guys. I don't worry about us ever getting receivers. You know, Mario Craver is leaving. And that's unfortunate. It is. Very talented guy. We'd like to keep him back. But the reality of it is I think we can go find another Mario Craver. And that's not to diminish his talent. I just think because of the pass-happy scheme and the reputation that Jeff Lebby has as being a down-the-field attacker and play caller, I think you're going to be able to go get those guys. I think you're going to be able to go get guys that want to go chase footballs. That's kind of been the pedigree. You know, look at the wide receivers at Central Florida. You think Central Florida was recruiting at a high clip? You know, and how ironic is it, Scott Frost going back to UCF? Pretty crazy. But the reality of it is that, you know, I don't worry about us getting offensive playmakers. And I think we'll get linemen too. I mean, number one, I think we've already put together a pretty good O-line class. We got to go against the center. You know, I think that's apparent. And probably if we can find a difference maker at tackle, you take one of those guys too. You got to get good at running back. And we've talked a lot about Ahmad Hardy today. He was the guy that wanted to sign Mississippi State last year. And went to Louisiana Monroe, basically the only Division I team that wanted him. And he ends up being the Sun Belt Freshman of the Year. Well, Mississippi State's involved with him. Ole Miss is involved with him. Auburn's involved with him. Texas is involved with him. So in that aspect of it, that's one of the things that I would ask, you know, the quote, loyalist. If you've got a guy like him, you say, you know what? Hey, they were the only school that took a chance on him. Should he stay? And ask yourself, would you want your own son to stay? You've got an opportunity now. You've proven yourself on a Division I level. You've got a chance to go to Texas, a team that's in the playoff, a team that is trending with an incredible trajectory to play on the big stage to prepare you for a potential NFL career. So are we going to get hung up on the old loyalty card and say, you know what? No, he should stay at Louisiana Monroe. What's best for his future? You know, we talk about it's, you know, the standards aren't uniformly applied, right? And we think that all these guys are leaving us. But for the majority of the guys that are in the portal that have Mississippi State next to their name, we left them. Not the other way around. And it was the right move for both parties. It was. Again, the cruel but fair thing. It's cruel that we got to do it, but it's the most fair thing to them. Instead of them just riding the scholarship rolls and never playing, and I don't want a guy that wants to be a career bench warmer. But at the end of it all, Jeff Lebby, we're paying Jeff Lebby a lot of money to win football games. And we're going to have to trust that he's going to make the best decisions to put himself in a position to win those football games. We can't go out there and do it for him. We can't go make his staffing decisions. We can't go make his recruiting decisions, his offer decisions, and do all of that for him and then say, okay, Jeff, now go coach a football team. The team that we built, the staff that we built. Now, hey, go do it. Well, hey, this isn't the guys that I want. We don't see each other philosophically. Doesn't matter, Jeff. Doesn't matter. You go do it because that's what we did. You got to give people autonomy. You got to give people the opportunity to build things in their own vision. We always talk about, well, you know, like, you got to get your own guys, and you do. You know, you got some guys that we run some concepts that are similar to the Air Raid, but it's a much different dynamic. And the reality of it is that Jeff Lebby knows what works in his scheme. It's always worked. This is the worst year offensively Jeff's ever had in his career, even dating back to Southeastern. He is a guy that has elevated the offense everywhere he's been. And, of course, he's handicapped this year because he loses the senior starter in game four. And then you've got to kind of go back to the drawing board and kind of build the offense a little bit around Michael Van Buren and the strengths that he has. And Mike made some big plays for us this year. But if you begin to look ahead this time next year, if we want to be in a better position next year and thinking about buying each other bowl tickets for Christmas, we got to make some difficult decisions now. And everybody's going to have to be all in. And that's what's going to happen when we think about the Jackson Arnold thing. And that's one thing I'll say. There are a lot of our fans out there that get it. And there are some other ones that I don't know that we do. We got to decide if we're committed to win or not. Everybody wants to win, but not everybody wants to do what it takes to win. when you run an organization, whether it be business, sports, whatever, you've got to be ruthless. And there are times you got to make difficult decisions that hurt. But it's best for the organization. Every one of these young men out there has to make a decision they feel is best for them and their futures and their families. But I hearken back to the conversation we had earlier. To suggest that all of this is money related is just not accurate. It's just not accurate. It's an easy excuse. But the culling of the roster is going to be an annual rite of passage for every team in college football. Every single year. And it's incredible to think about how the adults have failed the young people. Without any question. You know, we became so incredibly student-athlete conscious. And I've always been said, I want what's best for the student-athletes. Sometimes giving them everything they want isn't the best thing for them. It's like your own children, right? And it's best, Steve, you know, you got to believe in a free market economy. You know, I do, but the reality of that is too, is like, I think the NCAA has a right to enforce its own rules. It's not a right to play college football. It's a privilege. And so we've got to get our arms around this and put some parameters in. And we've taken some steps. You know, the NIL is a big part of this thing that drives the desire for a lot of people, right? I have seen some young people that you know in recent years that have gone into the portal thinking, I'll go into the portal and I'll be able to get enough money to buy a car. You know, maybe I won't get rich, but I'll be able to get enough that I can, you know, take a girl on a, you know, nice date or take a vacation during spring break. I'll get enough, and they get nothing. They don't even get a scholarship. You go back and you look the last few years at the guys that have transferred out, you're going to find several of those guys that never played football again. And so the lure of the big deal, and there's some people out there in my industry that are incredibly irresponsible because they're out here pushing all this stuff. Oh, yeah, it's like the forbidden fruit. Oh, yeah, you go grab that, man. You get in the portal, and everybody's going to be throwing this money at you. But the stark reality of it is many of the guys that go in the portal don't command that type of attention. That's the reality of it. And I think now that this thing has been around a few years, I think that there's probably some education and some lessons we can draw from that, that there probably needs to be people around the country that put this thing together. You know, best and worst practices of the NCAA transfer portal. Dear students, you're not going to get rich, right? It's not like all of a sudden I went and played a couple years of college football and now everybody wants me. Because I guarantee you this, for those guys that haven't had anything production-wise, leaving a program like Mississippi State is probably going to end with you going somewhere that you find less desirable, with less amenities, with less prestige. You know, that's an important aspect of this thing, too. You want to build a brand? You're not going to do that by going to six different schools. Just my opinion. Hey, let's get out of here. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com and you can order all of my sports titles and When the Bottom Falls. That book's been selling well again lately, too. Tomorrow, Tuesday, I will be at Gumtree Books there in Tupelo. I don't know if you guys have been in there. I absolutely love that place, and they have been very kind to me these last couple years. And so we'll be in there. They ran the ads in the paper. So you should be aware of that, but let me give you the parameters around that just so you know. I would love to see you, and I know that you'd love to see me because we love each other. But and again, it's so funny, like when you're scrolling through text messages, it's like when you don't need it, you just run all over it all the time, and then when you need it, it's like, oh, I can't find it, right? So here we go. So tomorrow, Tuesday, Reed's Gumtree in Tupelo from noon to 2. So on your lunch break, come by, say hello, pick up some signed books. And then on Thursday, I am in Ridgeland at College Corner 2 to 4. College Corner, Ridgeland 2 to 4. And then Sunday, Book Martin Cafe 11-3. Now, probably going to go ahead and record your Wednesday show Tuesday night because I'm going to be on the road Wednesday. Matter of fact, I got the oil change in Ruby today. We're gassed up, ready to go. We got to take a road trip to go see the Bulldog signees down at Mississippi-Alabama All-Star practices. I've been doing that for years and years and years, and so we'll run down there for the afternoon. And, you know, we'll get pictures and we'll get some interviews and we'll come back and have that content for you, you know. And so that's the plan anyway. So I look forward to getting down there and doing that. And I love going down there. I want to win the game. Every year I want to win the game. I know you guys do too. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.